And just after we read, I'm going to suggest that we have just a moment's silence. Lots of words. So let's just be silent in God's presence, God's grace, and just in our own hearts, just be asking God to speak with us today. Read selectively the first five verses and then the last five verses. Obviously, recommend that you read everything in between. In the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and desolate. The raging oceans that covered everything were engulfed in total darkness, and the Spirit of God was moving over the waters. Then God commanded, "Let there be light," and light appeared. God was pleased with what he saw. Then he separated the light from the darkness, and he named the light day and the darkness night. Evening passed and morning came. That was the first day. And then through to verse 26, we hear the Godhead talking to one another. Then God said, "And now we will make human beings. They will be like us and resemble us. They will have power over the fish, the birds, and all animals, domestic and wild, large and small." So God created human beings, making them to be like himself. He created them male and female, blessed them and said, "Have many children so that your descendants will live all over the earth and bring it under their control. I am putting you in charge of the fish, the birds, and all the wild animals. I have provided all kinds of grain and all kinds of fruit for you to eat. But for all the wild animals and for all the birds, I have provided grass and leafy plants for food." And it was done. God looked at everything he had made, and he was very pleased. Evening passed and morning came. That was the sixth day. So in the light of what we've just prayed about, we're aware we've not made a brilliant job necessarily of caring. Let's be still. Let's be silent for a moment. And for grace, for revelation, for grace to understand, for grace to be wiser, for grace to know how to act, for grace to live in relationship with you and in ways that please you. We pray for humanity, for grace at this time, when the planet is in such disorder and decay. As we give thanks for many good gifts, we come into your presence praying for the help of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Jesus, that we may be centered upon you and enabled to change through your grace. We ask this of God in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask quite a lot of our media guys today, but if we could have the PowerPoint up. I had a Greenpeace activist knock on my door in the week. I knew he was a Greenpeace activist because he had a green T-shirt on with Greenpeace on it. And he was an activist. He was very enthusiastic. And he had his tablet in one arm, and his name was George. And we ended up having quite a good conversation. First of all, I thought, oh, I just want to get rid of this guy because I know he wants me to give money for this and whatever. I don't give on the doorstep. But in fact, it turned out to be a really good encounter. So George knocked on my door and he said, "I want to talk to you about the most important issue facing us as human beings today." So I was very tempted to leap in and do my bit, you know, from my side. And I said, "Are you talking about climate change? You're talking about the planet?" He said, "Yes, of course." So I said, "Well, I know about the work of Greenpeace." And he said, "Do you know that we're not a charity?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you know we don't accept government funding?" I said, "Yeah." I'm a dissenter as well. So we had a conversation about religious dissent, my position as a Baptist, not being part of a state church and not taking state funding and so on. So we ended up having a really good discussion about the planet. And he was really trying to convince me. He was working really hard, and he was a really nice guy and a really interesting guy. So he said, well, can I come back again and talk? I said, yeah, I suppose so. I might have to invite you in and have a cup of coffee at that point, get a few others. But this, for him, was the most important issue facing us today. And in a way, I didn't disagree with him. We might not have fully agreed about what the solution was, but I was thinking about today, and I was thinking about our theme for this year, which is certainly at the beginning about becoming human and giving glory. And that's not just about Jesus becoming human and giving glory to God, but about us becoming truly human. So we had quite a good conversation. He's coming back in February, I should warn you, Jeff, if he turns up. His name is George. He, at one point, I said, I don't like people knocking on my door asking for money. And he said, but if you really care about something, surely you'd knock on people's doors. I said, I've done a lot of it in my time. I said, but, you know, you have to be very careful, so and so. So we had an interesting discussion. But he cared with a passion about what was going on in the planet. And I was impressed by that, to be honest. I thought we had a lot in common. And on the first Sunday in 2018, just to say that our aim for the beginning of this year will be for each of us individually and all of us together, I hope, to explore what it means to be truly human. Because I also think that is the big issue of the day. What it means to be truly human in a planet and a universe where all sorts of things are happening. And also the second part, which we won't be thinking at all about, actually living in such a way as human beings that we give glory both to our humanity and to God who created us. Now, during the Christmas season, when we looked at John's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel, I made the point that in each of the very first chapters, both of the writers were talking not just about the earthly birth of Jesus, but about the origins or the genesis of Jesus. So they were actually, when they talked about the Logos and the origins of Jesus, were going right the way back beyond even Genesis chapter 1, because of course the claim of those who follow Jesus is that he in a sense has no origins, he has always existed, that he is God, equal with the Father and the Spirit. And they were making reference back to this. And the primeval history of the book of Genesis, and those first 1 to 11 chapters, is all about God creating and making and the planet, and what went wrong in a way with humanity. And there's even mention about the way God is going to work to change that if human beings will accept that. And there in verse 26 we have this amazing statement. We see the community, the one community of Godhead talking, let us make humanity in our image, male and female in our image. And this decision that the Godhead discussed, we don't know if it was discussed for millions of years before ever this part of the creation came into being, but this plan. And the chapters go on to discuss, when I say mythic tale, I don't mean it's untrue, although there's no way I'm arguing for a six-day creation or anything like that, but in this great meta-narrative, this great story, they claim that humanity has fallen from that position of grace. Here's the word again, from being in relationship with God, has chosen actually to know evil as well as good, and that leaves us with the dilemma which we live with as human beings. And the story of the Old Testament and the New Testament is all about the relationship of the so-called people of God and with other peoples. And then in the New Testament, although obviously he's foretold in the Old, comes Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, we believe, who challenges us about what it means to be truly human, that challenges us about something about humanity which has to do with relationship with God. And central to our thinking as we follow Jesus is this view that to be truly human means that we need to be in relationship, ongoing relationship with God, that is part of our humanness. We are made in the image of God, so we can know God, but that image has been greatly marred. And this leads us in many ways today. It's just an introduction into starting us thinking. So you're going to see in a moment a couple of film clips which make us ask this question, what does it mean to be truly human? And many people in our day and generation, if we've got the energy and the time, which we have, if we've got enough food and money and whatever, often ask this question. But people have asked this for thousands of years in different cultures, different places. What does it mean? And we want to hear those ideas, the same as I wanted to hear, once he really got going, this guy George, what his view was of what it meant to be human and responsible living in the planet today. Let's remember that we each sit within history and culture. And although we do have the situation where many of us have similar cultures in certain parts of the world, there is really great variety. And at the beginning of the 21st century, since the coming of Jesus Christ, we are asking key questions. And every generation of humanity questions its own identity and purpose. We have some who impose identity and purpose on others and say, this is what you are going to be like. This is why you are here. They are the powerful, and they're present in every culture. And some of us may well be part of those powerful elites. But we question our identity and our purpose. And if we look at the ways human beings are using to relieve their tension and anxiety, we will be aware that many, many of us are in great anxiety and tension about our identity. There is no doubt about that. And we need to admit that, because if we don't accept that we are part of that angst, we will not be sharing the common humanity that gives us compassion for one another. And we need to reflect, to think more deeply, each of us, through this year. That is a grace to pray for. And there are many ways that humanity reflects on who we are. Not just individual reflection and speculation, which is very, very important, but groups and communities together. And I believe that is one reason why churches should be learning communities, that we reflect and we think together. We're not just a place to give answers, but to seek answers and to listen. In our friendship circles, hopefully you've got friends that you can talk with and think about important issues to do with identity. In academic networks, and they are incredibly important, colleges and universities and postgraduate research and other places in various communities, people are reflecting. Even on digital networks, this is now a major part of our reflection. And through poetry, the arts, including film, which is why we're doing our film program, that reflection can happen. It can happen in the sciences and in theology and philosophy. And anybody that tries to remove theological reflection from that thinking is basically an idiot, because that is a key part of our thinking through generations. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean not just to know my identity, but in practice? If you have watched, some of you will have done, the Contemporary Discovery Programme, like Blue Planet 2, those programmes make us aware, with their wonderful photography, of the wonder of created order, but also the struggle that is happening in the planet. And forever imprinted on us now is the whale trying to eat the plastic bucket. But many, many films depict the lives of ordinary and real human beings and cause us to think about human behaviour. I hope that in your viewing of films and plays, your reading and your seeing of artwork, whether it's street art, wherever it occurs, that you are thinking about the questions people are asking. And through this year, I hope that we also move forward, that we have become more reflective, that we have a base on which to work in practice for why we do what we do. And we can explain that we don't just do something because our parents did it or our grandparents did it or it was done in the church before. We reflect upon it, and very much that we reflect upon it with the grace of God, which is shown in Jesus Christ. One example of the film I'm going to use, which shows my age, is this film. The Elephant Man. Can I just see, this will be a generational thing. Who has seen The Elephant Man? Right, All you want, you oldie woldies. Right. This is a film made in 1982. If you haven't seen it, it is a classic. And you, I would think, let me be prescriptive, you should see it. Okay? It's a historical drama about a real person, Joseph Merrick, who in the script is called John Merrick. Yes, it has been the theme of London and Broadway musicals and films. It's incredibly important. But this is a real life person who was born and lived at the time when this church was being established and founded and grouped together. All right, it's not long ago. It's important to know about this. It's a film directed by David Lynch. They kept it very quiet. It was produced by not just Jonathan Sanger, but also Mel Brooks, in case people thought it was a comedy. Starring in it are the greats like Anthony Hopkins, Anne Bancroft, Hannah Gordon, and so on, John Hurt. But it's a film that asks questions about what it is to be human. It's a film about somebody who was born in Leicester and died aged just 28, who was part of a freak show as they existed at that time. They still are in various parts of the world. His remains are held in the Royal London Hospital. People like Liz and I will have seen the remains. It's not open to the public now. It used to be. But he lived there for a number of years because he was actually taken there for examination by Frederick Treves to be examined because of his great skeletal deformities and the difficulties that gave him in breathing. And we're going to see the first scene is in a railway station. I think it's probably Liverpool Street meant to be, but it might be Whitechapel. He's being chased because he looks like he does by people. You might find it a bit distressing. It's quite loud. So just a short clip of him being followed. A bit of humour at the end to relieve the tension. I still watch it with great distress. There's another scene where he actually shares tea with his doctor and the doctor's wife and her response. So it's well worth seeing. So Frederick Treves finds John Merrick in a freak show. And he comes to the London Hospital. His owner, Mr. Bites, views him as retarded, unable to learn. And Treves presents Merrick to his colleagues, particularly the person that runs the hospital, and Mr. Cargham. And he thinks that what has happened is that Treves has simply trained him in party tricks to say various pieces. But yet, as you see, it progresses in this encounter. And therefore, if that were true, then Mr. Cargham is going to say, you can't stay in the London Hospital as it was then, because we don't take incurables. There were hospitals in South London which would have taken them. They were called that, the Royal Hospital for Incurables. But if he is retarded, they will not take him. You'll see what happens. A slightly longer, quite moving clip as he is introduced to Mr. Cargham.
Hello.
John, may I introduce you to Mr. Cargham?
Could you turn it up, please?
Cargham,
This is John Merrick.
Hello. My name is John Merrick. I'm very pleased to meet you.
I'm very pleased to meet you. How are you feeling today?
I feel much better.
Are you comfortable here?
Everybody's been very kind.
How is your bronchitis? Mr. Merrick likes the food here, don't you?
Much better than what I used to.
Oh, yes? Yes, and what was that?
Potatoes.
I understood that you'd been flogged.
I feel much better now.
Oh, that's splendid. How do you find Mr. Treves? As a teacher, I mean. How long did you and Mr. Treves prepare for this interview? Yes, of course, I understand. Well, it's been a pleasure meeting you, Mr. Merrick. Good day to you.
Very good, John. It's very good. Be back in a moment.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down.
Well, it was a brave attempt, Treves. But the man was obviously simply mouthing words taught by you.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry to have wasted your time, ma'am.
He restoreth my soul.
He simply doesn't belong here. He'd be much better off somewhere else where he could be constantly looked after.
Right.
I'm sorry, Treves, if things have turned out this way. Good day to you.
Yay. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. I rod and I staff.
Mr. Cargong?
Yes, what is it?
Stan. I didn't teach him that part.
And mercy will follow all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
How did you know the rest of it? I didn't teach you the rest of it.
It's very strange.
Tell me, how did you know the rest of it, the 23rd Psalm?
I used to read the Bible every day. I know it very well, and the Book of Common Prayer. 23rd Psalms, beautiful, it's my favorite.
Treves, come and see me in my office when you're through up here. There's something important I want to say to you. Goodbye, Mr. Merrick. I do hope we shall meet again.
A true story, and an amazing person. He was allowed to stay to make the London Hospital his home for a number of years. Sadly, even there, one of the porters was able to charge money for people to come and see him as a freak and to view him through the window. And he was of great interest. And I think it raises the question, what is it to be human? Other things have raised that question for us, I believe, even things like the high raising of the Paralympics and other issues raise these issues for us. What does it mean to be human? By what values do we live? Who do we regard? Who do we reward? So maybe some of you will view it online. People take an interest which can be voyeuristic, or perhaps it can be empathetic. Many people have wanted to actually buy the skeleton, which is held at the Royal London. People as noteworthy as Michael Jackson attempted to do that. How do we feel about being human? We cannot, and indeed we must not, assume that everyone has the same understanding of what it is to be human as you or I. We cannot even assume that we would fully agree on major issues of our day, as we talk particularly about issues to do with human sexuality and other issues like this. We need to be asking these questions. And the human sciences have studied for, again, I would say thousands of years, issues and studies to do with biological issues, social issues, cultural aspects of what it means to be human, drawing on history, philosophy, religion, genetics, sociology, psychology, and so on. And even now, the world is being run actually on the basis of what people think about other people. Margaret Thatcher noted that often anthropology is linked to ideology. So our view of what it is to be human will determine our beliefs, our practices, and our policies. This is a key day, and to be sure of certain things and to be prepared to be unsure about certain others. But there are certain things we need to be very, very sure of. For us, in the Judeo-Christian tradition, that essential setting down that every human being is created in the image of God is absolutely foundational to our understanding of what it means to be human. Have we really thought about what lies behind our understanding? I dare to suggest at my grand age of nearly 64 that I did think about that in my adolescence years. That did greatly concern me. But the danger of the middle years is that you think you've got it sorted and you forget about it. The good thing that becoming older is that you begin to think again with the wisdom and experience and hopefully the grace of a life lived. But where does the power lie in our society? Have we really thought about it? And will we think about it this year? Will we pray about it? Will we reflect about it? Will we read our scriptures seriously? Will we discuss with one another? Will we view films and read books which may challenge perspectives that we have? Indeed, we need to learn from the lessons of previous generations. But as we've often said, history repeats itself because nobody listens. So have we learned those lessons? And what insight, as followers of Jesus, do we bring to those amazing commands to love God with all of our being, all of our humanity, and to love neighbour as we love ourselves? What perspectives do we bring to that? What does the Bible teach about this? And what is the developed understanding, because the Bible is a developed book and practice that we gain through Jesus Christ? What light has Jesus Christ, who I believe is the one truly human being, as well as God with skin on? What light has he shed? My lighthouse, my lighthouse. As we grow as human beings, you and I, hopefully there is a growing understanding of our common humanity. And that will birth that concern, that compassion that I've mentioned for one another, and will lead us to change, and will hopefully lead to change in other people. What are our beliefs about humanity in the world that we want to buy into? What are the beliefs that we will buy into, and what will we opt out of? What will we say no to, that we won't accept certain views of humanity? Our views about humanness will determine our beliefs and our practices on major issues of life care. End of life care, for instance, the child in the womb, issues of gifting and disability, the practices of justice and the prison system, and so on. Our views of humanity and humanness will have an effect on each of those. Our theme is becoming human giving glory through the year. Earlier in the service, we had that short reading from Isaiah, which was written down about 8 centuries before Christ, when he prophesied the birth of a human child who would change the course of human and world history, universal history. A human child who would rule the people of God, those who wanted to be ruled by God, described as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah declared that God was determined to do this, and God's determination has shown through. Christians believe that this one born is truly God becoming human. Also, for those who believe and receive Jesus as God with skin on, the only true human being, that following him is the means by which we become more truly human. And this is my challenge to you. Through the work of God's grace, are you, am I, becoming more truly human? The last quote is still contemporaneous to us, Jean Vanier. Many of you will have read a lot of his books on community and growth. This comes from his book called Becoming Human. He's a man born to great privilege, a French-Canadian, from a very privileged background, but he is also the founder of the simple lifestyle that called him to invite 2 other adults, men with intellectual difficulties, learning difficulties, to share a home, a community with him. He's the founder of the L'Arche communities, which mean ark, as in Noah's Ark, and they are present in at least 33 countries with over 137 communities and some more communities of a different type as well. And he says this quote, "Is this not the life understanding of us all, to become human? It can be a long and sometimes painful process. It involves a growth to freedom, an opening up of our hearts to others, no longer hiding behind masks or behind the walls of fear and prejudice. It means discovering our common humanity." And this guy has lived it. It's a journey of discovery with the help and the grace of God. Their community receives people of a great variety of people, and they focus around their common meal, the communion together. Since this theme, becoming human, giving glories, is so expansive, and today's just an introduction, we're going to have to tackle it in bite-sized pieces, but I do hope we can keep together the overall questions about what it means to truly become human and give greater glory. We will need God's help, God's grace, and it will need to be a lifetime commitment. That is what following Jesus is about. It's a lifetime commitment. It's not something we say, right, done it, read the book, written the article, got it. It is a way of living. So I encourage you, let's join together in this discovery. On this Epiphany Sunday, we know we will need God's revelation and help, and we know that Jesus will be the center of our reflection, will help us in our challenge to think about this. Let's just be still for a time, just for a moment, and then we'll just take just a few responses. Anything we feel God is saying or questions we may have, they won't get answered now, but anything we want to raise. So let's just be still for the moment.